Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
It's a Freedom 106.5 FM where you speak your mind. It's just about 39 minutes after 4, and we're going to jump straight into fire prevention with Officer Jude Rogers. Officer Jude Rogers, good afternoon. Officer Jude Rogers, are you there?
Good afternoon.
Hey, I'm hearing you now. How are you doing?
Excellent. I was just having a little trouble with the audio. The microphone.
That's not a problem.
We're live, we're locked in, and we're listening.
I think this is the first time I've ever sat down with you. I'm Carrie V. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome, Carrie V. You're welcome. It's nice to have you.
Thanks. So I know we're going to be talking about bushfires again. I know last week you started the discussion, and we are going to do a part two today. Yeah.
So last week we touched a little bit more in depth on death by fires, though, because we talked specifically about the fact that we have approximately 20 to 25 death by fires annually, and those are resultants of 700 house fires annually, which amounts to just about 1.8 or 2 fires per day, and the statistics did not lie. Because as we looked over the weekend and we looked over the coming days and the days that went by, we heard of different houses, board houses, fires that involved property, people even being involved. Somebody got burnt, you know, 3rd-degree burns. And so, you know, it's a serious, serious issue. And the statistics is really pointing us in the right direction to help us to understand what the challenges are in Trinidad and Tobago. Mm.
Because I'm seeing that there are an average of 2 house fires per day. And this is the hidden reality of house fires in Trinidad and Tobago. And just in today's Guardian, I know it's there was an article where 9 persons were homeless as bushfire destroyed homes. And I was talking about that this morning on my program. I was talking about why persons, let's say, for instance, they take the cigarette butts, or buds, or whatever they call it, and they flick it outside, and they're seeing how dry the grass looking, and they will still continue to do it. And you know how fire does spread like butter on a bread.
Carvey, you know, you're absolutely correct. If there isn't a change in the mental or the culture of Trinidad and Tobago in terms of bushfires, I mean, really and truly, the 9 persons who feels it knows it. So those 9 persons, they're the ones that are going to feel the pinch. And they're the ones that might change their mentality as to how they treat, how they dispose of cigarette butts, how they would treat with broken glass or even bottles that you may throw out of your vehicle as you pass, because you know that has the potential to act as a magnifying glass in the hot sun, and that too can cause a fire to begin. So there's a lot of culture shift that needs to take place, but we can only do that if we have the discussion, understand the problem that we face, and begin to see how we can make a change and make a difference, because it impacts not only our homes, but our environment, the animals, the elderly, our pets, and children. They are the vulnerable ones.
Yeah. But I know we're going to be discussing much more about death by fire. Would you care to elaborate?
All right. So this afternoon's program, last week's program, must get towards death by fire, but really and truly, Carrie V, we're in part two of bushfires, because we did note the statistics over the weekend, and I want to touch on the statistics where it concerns bushfires, because this is part two of bushfires. I know how there are some callers right now who are experiencing smoke as a result of a bushfire, and they're asking me, where is the fire service? And I want to answer all those questions here this afternoon. So first and foremost, we're in the month of April, Carrie V. And the statistics, if you have that stats that I sent to you all in front of you, you would recognize that April and May are the two months within the dry season period, which begins from the 1st of December of the previous year and goes all the way down to the 30th of June of this year. Those are the peak months in every single year of statistics we have. So we have statistics dating back to 2029, because we want to make a closer comparison. And when we look at it, we recognize, hey, April and May are our two hottest periods. So that is something that I want the public to know this evening. You are in the spike, in the peak of the dry season. This is where you need to be even more careful.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Officer Rogers, tell persons again, because there's some reason that we seem to forget. Tell persons how they can prevent bushfire. So, you know, for instance, some of us, and I'm saying some of us because I'm a human being too, I live in Trinidad and Tobago, and sometimes we just do some crazy things, right? We cut down the tree, so all the leaves fall on the ground, and it's dried up. And, you know, sometimes you'll say, well, you know what, hey, let me see if I could burn this little patch of leaves, these dry leaves here. I would control it, you know, because I went on YouTube, I went on Google, and I saw how you could have a controlled fire. When you do hear the shout now, it went from being controlled to being out of control. Tell persons how or if they can do that around this time.
Listeners, you know that I've dealt with bushfires before. But let me just paint a scenario for you to understand how a bushfire can get out of hand.
Mm.
So it's, let's say it's 1 p.m., 2 p.m. in the afternoon. You have a little bit of cut down from a tree, so you have it in a heap and you want to burn it. Now, and that has small shrubs, it has the tree branches, it has all of that. And we make one big heap. Mm. When you make one big heap, the height of that fire that can go exponentially very high. It could even go up to the very tree that you would have trimmed. You have, at the higher heights, the eave of your home. Mm. You have other trees that are around. But guess what happens around that time of the day? The wind factor, the breeze that blows across Trinidad and Tobago, the northeasterly winds, they are rampant around that time. So a lot of people may not take into consideration the wind and the wind direction. And so firefighters and persons who really deal with fire on a day-to-day basis, this is something that we're very concerned about. But the fact of the matter is, listeners, I want you to understand that even if you're thinking about burning a piece of land, it is legal to do so, but you must do so with permission via the fire permit, which can be acquired through your fire stations, the fire department. Mm-hmm. You must come to the fire department and make an application to us to be able to burn material during that bushfire season. Outside of that, if you were to take that chance, which a lot of people do, Caribbean, a lot of people take the chance and say, it's only a little bit of rubbish I'm burning, man.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they run inside something they're doing and they forget. That high wind factor that I just spoke to you about can take that flame, take the embers down the road, downwind, and cause your neighbor property or the property next to you, adjacent to you, to get involved.
Wow.
And so some of the measures, Carrie V, is simple. First and foremost, go and apply for your fire permit. That fire permit is for a specific period. It's not an unlimited fire permit. Let's say it's for 1 week, 5 days, and you burn a little bit of the shrub.
Just for that week.
Right. Because you see, we can't give you an open-ended permit.
Mm, true.
Because conditions change during the season.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were to give you a permit for, let's say, the whole season, we can't do that. So we have to be very wise. You have to give us some ideas to what it is you're attempting to do. We'll come and visit. Our fire guardians are there. They will come out. They will visit your property. They will see how much, whether it's 1 acre, a hectare, one lot. It could be just one lot of land and you're clearing and you want to heap up and burn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people who are burning in the little cans, you know, you have a barrel in the back of your yard and you put all the little refuse instead of putting it, you're burning that. I'm not saying that you should not seek a permit, but that is on a smaller scale. Mm. What the permit is really designed to do is to capture those persons that are doing land clearing, land development, agriculture, and those things which are on a more macro scale. But definitely, even the little or the small fire that you do in your backyard could become an issue that could get out of hand. So to cover yourself, get your bushfire, your fire permit, because the fine and the jail time is 6 months imprisonment.
$20,000.
$20,000.
That is a lot of money. Now, Officer Rogers, the fire permit, right? Now, I know you said that it have the dry season, which starts from in December, from the previous year to May, right? June 30th. So after June 30th, right, where we would be considered in the wet season, should I say?
That is correct, rainy season.
Would someone still need a fire permit to burn anything?
No, Carrie V. During that period, mm-hmm. the statistics and the way that our weather patterns or climatologists mm-hmm. can tell you that during that period, there's a lot more rainfall. Mm-hmm. The precipitation in that period is pretty heavy. And so it builds from June all the way up to October, November, December,
right.
You know. And so we really look forward to that, you know. So there's crop time, and then there's that time for harvesting, and then there's time for planting. So those periods of time are normally known for heavy rainfall. There is no requirement by law
mm-hmm.
to have a fire permit to burn control.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean that you can't burn stuff all willy-nilly.
Mm.
You know, because some citizens, they go ahead, okay, right, we're outside of the bushfire season. But you still have the possibility of having a forest fire.
Right.
And Carrie V, let me tell you, when you have a forest fire, even though it's not your land, and even though no houses are might be up in the forest except the little hunters and them who have the little shed and the little houses up inside there for when they're doing the hunting, you know how much damage be causing to the hillside, causing desiltation, deforestation, and even landslides.
Mm.
And I want you to remember that when these bushfires take hold, the trees are gone, the roots are gone, and the soil is now loose.
Wow.
And so in the rainy season, we bear the brunt now of the soil that came down, that filled up the Carony River, and the Carony River is not able to bring all of that volume of water out during the rainy season.
Wow.
So we constantly have to dredge the river, clear the waterways during the dry season, because loose soil comes down from, let's say, Dago Martin.
Mm-hmm.
We had a situation years ago in Dago Martin where the entire hillside came down, and Carrie V, this also has something to do with land development and people who are doing illegal land development buildings.
Yeah.
And they are causing excavation to be done. And these things are filling up our water courses.
Yeah.
So I know lots of callers want to get involved. We could probably give them the numbers.
Of course.
They may have questions. They may want to know how to get the permit,
which
stations to go to, how much to pay for a permit.
Yeah. So I was coming with all them questions, you know, because you piqued my interest already. Right? Guys, it's just about 8 minutes away from the top of the hour. Don't forget, we have news coming up at 5. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to jump straight into a break, a really, really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing more. Keep it locked.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. This is Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. Carrie V and your company, and I'm here with Officer Jude Rogers, and we are speaking about bushfires. Now, before we went on the break, Officer Rogers, you were speaking about getting a permit. Now, I want to ask you, how long in advance can someone apply for a fire permit? Or is it like today?
Right. So you should, at least if you want to burn some sort of rubble material, whatever it may be, again, non-toxic, non-material that will not trigger EMA laws as well. Because you can't come and ask the fire service to burn tires, eh?
No.
So and car oil and all these kind of crazy things
people just want
to do. So you definitely that is not going to be the case. So that is why we have to do site visits. So Carrie V, put yourself in the shoes of the fire officer. Today you're going to become a fire officer, Carrie. And you are now a fire guardian. You're a fire inspector.
Yes.
And you have to issue a permit.
Mm-hmm.
You then need to have some facts on the situation, not so?
Yeah, of course.
So obviously, when somebody comes to the station, you would take their information, their name, their address, the land space that they would like to have cleared.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You would take some other particulars as to, you know, what is the size of the property, the borders of the property, some sort of proof of ownership of the property or permission to utilize the space,
right,
and so forth. And you would want to conduct a site visit. So all of this is going to take some time, but it's not a lengthy period of time. So you could come in today, make an application, and an officer can be assigned to visit your property the following day, the day after, all depending on the amount of persons that are already scheduled.
Right.
And so that is how it's done. And so within quick timing, a report can then be generated and submitted to the county fire officer, which is the divisional county fire officer, which is normally the most senior fire officer
right.
or divisional fire officer in each of that district.
Mm.
So whether it's the Southern Division in San Fernando, Monrepo,
mm-hmm.
it is, let's say, in Mayaro, there's right. a Mayaro Fire Station, Rio Claro, there's a Rio Claro Fire Station. All right, there's a Point 14 Fire Station. You visit your nearest fire station. Right.
But, all right, Officer and Rogers,
yes?
Sorry not to cut you across, but I have to cut you across.
That's okay.
How long does That's it okay. take to get that fire permit?
I am saying that process can be done all equal within 5 working days. You can have your permit. So if you know you want to have a permit to burn next week, you should start that process the week before.
Oh.
And that's as straight and simple as I can put it.
Right.
All right. right? So yeah, don't come today for today. That does not make sense. Obviously, there's time to process and a risk assessment must be done.
Yeah.
A fire risk assessment.
Right.
All of these processes will take a little bit of time, but it's not going to leave you waiting a month and a half.
Right.
So it's definitely going to happen within quick timing.
Right. Now, I know just now you were listing out some of the fire stations that you can go to apply for a fire permit. Now, before the news, you could tell us quickly some of these fire stations again?
Definitely, you can go to any of the headquarters. And we have 4 headquarters in Trinidad and Tobago, Scarborough Fire Station.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Chaguanas Fire Station. These are the headquarters. Monrepo in San Fernando,
mm-hmm.
and of course, Rison Road in Port of Spain.
Right.
Of course, in the major cities, like major areas such as Arima, Princess Tongue, Mayaro, Point 14, you can go to all of those stations as well.
Right.
And you can interact with your fire officers there. That's plain and very, very simple. You can reach out to the fire officers there. They will do the necessary assessment, give you the required forms to fill out.
Right.
And then they would visit and issue the permit once all the requirements are met.
Right.
So we will talk about the requirements that have to be put in place when we come back from the news.
Of course we would. Guys, we are in a fire prevention every Monday. It's Safety Mondays on the Overdrive right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. We are discussing bushfires and if bushfires can cause house fires. When we come back, we're going to be talking much more with Officer Rogers. So keep it locked to Freedom 106.5 FM. We'll be right back.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Officer Rogers, welcome back.
Yes, I'm back with you guys.
Nice.
I'm back with everyone here.
Nice like a pie. I like to say a pie. So
you were saying about the fire permit. The fire permit only costs
$10.
$10? $10 is the fire permit.
$10, right? You're saying?
Not to say it's an exorbitant fee.
Mm-hmm.
It is not an exorbitant fee, so there's no excuse why we can't have persons doing the right thing and following the law.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I must reiterate that the impact of bushfires are really felt. And the question we have today on part two of bushfires in the bushfire season, in the peak of the bushfire season, is can a bushfire lead to a house fire?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question that I want. We want to throw out to our callers
right.
and give them an opportunity to probably even voice their own opinion because there's a lot of people who have experienced fires and they have very interesting stories to tell.
To tell
so I always
right.
like to give people an opportunity
of
to
course.
Share what they know because it can help us and we can
mm-hmm.
learn from people's
yeah.
own mistakes.
So guys, don't forget right? you can call us at 627-3223, 625-2257. You can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. We are talking about bushfires and if they can cause, you know, like house fires. That's what we're speaking about. So call us and let us know. I know you've had an experience with regards to bushfires and how it probably almost destroy your entire home. As we are seeing in The Guardian today, as we saw in The Guardian today, 9 persons were homeless from a bushfire, Officer Rogers. 9 persons.
And this is a sad reality when we do not heed the call to prepare for the drier, dry seasons. And I want to say that climatology and, well, let's say weather patterns have a lot to play with how severe a bushfire season can be.
Mm.
Apart from the fact that members of the public, by their negligence, by their error, by their own omission, by their deliberate acts of setting fires, can cause a fire to start.
Mm.
There is also the advent of an increase in the temperatures that we are experiencing. You have hotter dry seasons and wetter rainy seasons, all leading to both extremes in and causing great and adverse conditions that lead to either very intense bushfires mm-hmm. or very heavy flooding within our communities.
Yeah.
And they go hand in hand. So the drier the dry season, the more severe the flooding is normally be during the rainy season. So you see the correlation between the two Caribbean.
Yeah.
We cannot ignore it and say, well, that have nothing to do with me. I have no plans. I don't have any, you know. No, it affects you because we use the roadway.
Mm-hmm.
We have to use the water courses affect us.
Mm-hmm.
All these things affect us in the long run. Mm-hmm. All right. So we remember Trinidad and Tobago, we live on an island. Eh? We don't live on a continent. Mm-hmm. We live on an island. So where do we go from here? Where mm-hmm. can we go? So mm-hmm. this is how serious the issue is. So unfortunately, we had a situation. And Carrie, you can stop me if we have any callers.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
People will want
it. Yeah, yeah.
Right? 9 persons becoming homeless as a result of a bushfire leading to the total loss of a home.
Mm.
And that reality can come about by one of many different reasons. So let me tell you how that can happen. One, you have grass, bush, shrubs, trees in close proximity to your perimeter fence line, or you have no fence line and you have a wooden eave.
What's
all
a wooden eave?
Is for that vegetation, which is in close proximity to your home,
right,
to burn. And that will ignite the eave of your home, the wooden members or the wooden part, your roof becomes involved. And if it's a board house caravy, I am saying all of 5 minutes and that house is totally destroyed.
Wow.
That's how quickly it can happen.
Wow. And you said that is in addition to for a bushfire to spread, it's the winds that we are having. And I know for the past couple of days, we have some strong winds, huh?
Yes. It is known that the wind, we are on that path. And I mean, they take me back to geography days, eh?
Mm.
The northeast wind around during the day, dry season, it is a very, very serious wind gust that we get.
Wow.
And those wind gusts are able to whip up those bushfires and spread them even further. Guys, we may not be like California or some of the European fires, but when you hear about fires in these large states, and you hear the amount of acreage that has been involved in fires and how many people lose their lives,
yeah,
and there are even fire officers who lose their life because the wind direction changes,
wow,
double backs on you, and circles the firefighters. And they have to take all the necessary measures that they can take to try and protect themselves. But they're fighting the fires in an effort to minimize the loss of farming. The farmers are the ones who have a lot of vegetation and land. So they try to protect the farmhouses of these persons. And similarly in Trinidad and Tobago, when a fire gets away, especially in an agriculture property, it is the farming members are the ones that are bear the brunt. Their animals are affected. The natural pastures for their animals to feed on is destroyed.
Right.
And by extension, the waterways that connect them are affected.
Mm-hmm.
And so people, the question lies, can a bushfire really damage your home? And the answer to that is a resounding yes.
Yes. Guys, don't forget you can call us 627-322-3625-2257. Let us hear your story or your questions about bushfires and house fires as well. You can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Officer Rogers, I have a burning question. I
have a question.
Now, we are talking real here, right? We are talking real. We know that there are bushfires. We know that there are house fires. How can someone help themselves in an event of a house fire? Now, you know, we watch a lot of TV. And, you know, things on TV, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. Now, watching a lot of different movies, I've noticed that once someone is in an area or in a house and they have a fire, I see some of them take like a wet cloth and they put it over their nose in the interim. Does that work, or what can someone do if they find themselves trapped in a house fire?
All right, so that's a very interesting question in terms of being trapped within a home. And when we talk about being trapped, we're talking about the inability to access the natural doorways or your access through an emergency burglar proofing or emergency windows. And that brings me to a very valid point, that if you have burglar proofing and those burglar proofing are locked, then you're literally trapping yourself in your
inside.
Home. So, Carrie, the question that you ask is, can I take a wet cloth? And really and truly, what you should be asking is, should a cloth may not be sufficient in the sense that it would not cause a burn. Most persons are advised, and we advise persons, that you wet a blanket, you wet something like a towel, and you cover yourself. Now, that covering of yourself really is to sort of to create a barrier or a shield between you and the burning embers or whatever may be burning. Because you cannot approach the heat of a fire within your home. The average house fire, the degree Celsius of a house fire is an upward of 600 to 700 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
And that is enough to melt steel. So think about your skin. So really and truly, when you wet the blanket or you wet the cloth, which I'm hoping is a thick piece of cloth, you're really trying to create something that is going to absorb the heat and give you a fighting chance to make your way through the building to get to your exit. And I want to give a little piece of advice to those of you wondering, how do you do that? You need to get on the floor and crawl out of that building. And the reason why I say get on the floor is because hot air and gases rise to the top, to your ceiling, and then you have a mushrooming effect, and that hot air and gas will billow its way all the way down. But the only place you're going to find oxygen in that room is down on the floor. So that's why you get low and go. There's a little saying, especially when we have the children and they visit the fire station or we go to the schools, we say, get low and go. Get low and go. If you are on fire, we say stop, drop, and roll.
Right.
Stop, drop. If your clothing is on fire, Carrie V,
you're
already burning. Stop what you're doing. Drop on the floor and roll. And that sort of, that is able to help put out the fire. And I've seen this happen live and alive. Seen somebody close burning off of them, and all they need to do is stop, drop on the ground, and roll. Similarly, get low and go. That's the advice from the fire service here.
Thank you so much. We are getting a call. Let's see who's there. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I want to say that she went into Port of Spain and stayed until probably about 7 o'clock in the night when she got home. And the house, of course, was in darkness. She did not leave lights on the house. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys hearing me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're hearing you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when she got home, the first thing she did, open the door, and then she smelled gas in the house.
Wow.
And the first thing she did is went to the light switch and turned it on. Lights turn on with a spark.
Those bulbs turn on
with a spark. Yes. A spark light those bulbs, and then we don't have to say what happened after that. Okay?
Yes. Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much, caller, for bringing that to our attention. So, rightfully so, Carrie V. The caller alluded to the fact that if you come into your home, you now entered your home and you smell gas, don't turn anything on, don't turn anything off. If the fan is already spinning and the fan is on, don't plug it out, don't turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the caller identified, all you need now is a spark potential.
Wow.
And that can cause you already have an explosive environment.
Mm-hmm.
So you do not want to cause a fire to start. Don't touch anything. Don't turn anything on. Don't turn anything off. If you were to do anything, open the windows, open the doors, and ventilate that house.
You're telling me to open the windows and open the doors. I just want to get out, and I want to call all you. Can I do that?
Well, that is the ideal thing. That's the ideal thing. But you have some brave citizens out there.
Yeah, well,
I'm just saying, if you can and you wanted to do anything, and even with that too, presents a challenge. But again, 990 is the number that you want to call, Carrie V. A lot of people don't know up to now. They're not aware of what the number is for the fire service. And I dare say that even if you were to dial 911, because I know we consume a heavy diet of the American culture on TV and so forth, and of course, you know, with our social media.
Yeah.
So even if you were to dial 911, that call would go to the fire service or the police service right. operators, and you'd still be able to get some assistance.
Wow.
But the number for the fire service, I want you to remember, is 990. And we say 990, call a hero, because we're your unsung heroes. We're the ones that come when everybody else is running away.
Yeah.
Okay?
Wow. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Carrie V. Good afternoon, officer. Could the officer explain the dangers of using any device while it is being charged? Can you give any insight on that, Officer Rogers?
My suggestion to you is that the point about it is the development of heat. Mm. And so we advise persons that while your phone is charging, sometimes it's even better to switch the phone off, allow the phone to fully charge, and then engage. But we have persons who they're going to use the phone.
They will leave it on the bed.
Is also charging. There's a buildup of heat in the battery compartment.
Yeah.
There's the possibility for the transfer of heat to another piece of material, and then a fire could ensue. Those are the challenges that you face. Same thing with your laptop. And especially using laptops on top of surfaces such as cloth, your bed, your sofa, and you're resting the laptop on that and not allowing the laptop to be properly ventilated on a hard surface where the vent points can breathe, where the laptop, as we say, could breathe, you know, and ventilate. You have the buildup of heat. And I have seen fires that have started as a result of tablets and all the, you know, remember when we had the during the pandemic period, everybody was home, so everybody using the tablet, everybody using the phone, everybody using the laptop, and where are we are home, we can't go out, so you leave it on the bed, and that caused a fire in a particular home, and the home, that room burnt, not the entire home, but just the room was involved in the fire. Any callers on the line right now who would like to
not as yet you can always call us at 627-3223, 625-2257. You can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Now, before I ask you this question, Officer Rogers, I had an experience similar to that one time. A few years ago, I was charging my phone, and I took the phone and I put it under my pillow, right? While sleeping in the night, I said, well, I find this pillow feeling a little warm. When I put my hand under my pillow, Officer Rogers,
like
a little bit again, that pillow would catch a fire, you know. You know that?
That is exactly what
and
you're talking about.
From that experience, situation. From that experience, I started putting my phone to charge on the floor.
Floor.
So the cold part of the tile, you know, it was kind of cool on the phone. But after that, I got so scared. And I've been saying, but you know, I wonder if this is how some house fires are caused. You know, because we would leave the phone charging somewhere else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll have the phone charging somewhere else and you're in another room and it's on something and it catch a fire and, you know, all hell break loose.
Right. So, Carrie V, let me paint a picture. How is that any different from the smoker who falls asleep on the sofa with the cigarette in his mouth?
Oh, my God.
Falls onto the couch.
People just do that.
It's smaller, it burns.
What? People just do that? Wow.
But that is tantamount to the same thing as putting your phone
putting
on the bed.
The
because
phone,
if you
fall
asleep, and you get the same possibility that can occur.
We are getting
the same possibility.
We get in a call. Let's take this one. Hi, good afternoon. You're live?
Good afternoon. Yeah. Officer Rogers, question to you, sir.
Good afternoon, caller.
So I made an observation in the New Grant area, in the school, Trace to be exact. I saw an individual place a barrel just outside this wall on the main road and is using that as a burn bin or whatever you want to call it, but he's burning debris every night. Is that in violation of the fire ordinance act? I'll listen up there.
Thank you so much.
Very, very valid question. And caller, to be very clear with you, the act is very clear. We are talking about the Agriculture's Act 1965. All right, that is Act 17 of 1965. That act is very clear. It says any burning outside of cooking within your home that is being done between the 1st of December to the 30th of June has to be done under the regulation of this act, and a permit must be acquired from the fire service. Mm. End of text.
Wow.
End of text. That's it right there, caller. That's your answer. Report it to the nearest police station, the nearest fire station. It is illegal to do so.
Mm. We have another question.
And the fact of, yeah, go ahead with the other caller.
Someone says, what about after the fire front have passed? Could people still get burned? What should they do?
After the fire has passed, meaning in a whole house fire or possibly in a bush fire, can you still get involved in a fire thereafter? That's the question.
Well, they wanted a bush fire. He said, could people still get burned after the bush fire? So what I assume they are saying that after the fire passed and everything like that, if people could still get burned, probably, you know, it had like little small fires to start up a bigger one.
It is possible. All right. So here's the thing, Carrie, you know, nowadays with land, you know, you don't know what people have stored on their land. Mm. Suppose somebody have some kind of chemicals in bottles and cans and things stored there, and you fire pass and you think everything okay, fire going along the road and you think it's fine. You have tires that remain on the land. You have all sorts of plastics, all sorts of different things. So my suggestion is that you still try to apply some sort of water or still ask the fire service to come and take a look at the property and say whether it's safe or not to enter the property. All right, the ashes and the burning embers may be smoldering under the ground that you cannot see. It's a deep-seated, compacted fire because of material that may be stored there.
Mm, wow.
But normally, if a bushfire passes, a couple hours after, you may walk. The main damage you'll have is ash and debris as a result of the fire.
Right. We're getting the next call.
And possibly inhalation issues with the smoke.
Hi, good afternoon. You're live?
Yeah.
La Hoketatal Paru.
Fire personally something wrong. Is it true that there are certain stones that ignite when it's the sun hot, it ignites the dry bush or leaf and cause bushfire? I'll listen up here.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, so that's a very new one to me. You're making me have to go and do some research. I have not encountered that in all of my studies, and that's 20 odd years in the fire service.
Mm.
I'm not saying that it's not possible, but I have not come across that in my time. Mm-hmm. What I do know is the bottles that are thrown out of vehicles, the broken glass that remain in the bush, once exposed to the sun for a lengthy period of time, has the possibility of magnifying the heat of the sun. And you know, the hotter the dry season, the greater the potential for that to ignite in the bush.
Wow.
But more than likely, Carrie V, more than likely, the main reason for bushfires starting is human intervention directly being involved in a burning process and causing a place to be lit. That is where the culture shift needs to take place.
Yeah.
Not because it's not your property, but you are affecting persons downwind of you. Mm. Somebody could be bedridden. It could be my grandmother, your grandmother, Carrie V, who has asthma.
Yeah, it could be a disabled person as well.
A little baby, that a lady now make a baby, and they have to leave their home. What if they don't have a vehicle to run for their lives, to drive away?
Hmm.
And we are causing massive amounts of smoke to be emitted by all. The fire service will never give a permit that will grant persons to burn large amounts of property. At the same time, we're going to do it in periodically over a period of time and smaller amounts, so that even if your neighbor have the barrel, for the caller who's listening in, he can only do so with a permit, and he can burn only so much at a time.
At a time.
There is a methodology for doing everything, people. Mm. We need to go back to becoming law-abiding citizens so that we all reap the benefits of us following the laws which have been put in place safekeeping.
But Officer Rogers, I know we were speaking about the fire permit, and I really wanted to ask you, what is the criteria to get one?
Oh, it's very simple. Again, the person who is interested in carrying on some sort of activity, which we normally tell you when people buy these fire permits, they want to clear a piece of land to do a land development. Carrie, think about it. If it is that you're going to develop 1 acre of property, you have vegetation on the top of that land, what you're going to do with it? You can't cart all of that away and take it to the dump. So you'll want to burn, or you may want to clear. You may want to plant. You may want to develop the land. So persons in the commercial sense need to come to us, will come to us, because they know they're not supposed to break the law. Mm-hmm. Citizens, individual citizens, are the ones who would normally break the law and say, well, that's my land. Nobody can tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. But there is a law that governs that. And if we all adopt the approach of doing what we want, then we will have a situation where our little island, where we can't run and jump and go off the island, we're going to be in problems. Mm-hmm. We are going to be in problems. All right? There are countries in the Caribbean, I don't want to call any names, mm-hmm. they've deforested all their vegetation.
Wow.
All right? And what is the impact of that? The impact is an environmental impact on the flora and fauna and also the animal life of those countries. Mm. So we don't want that to happen here in Trinidad and Tobago. I want you to look, people, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, look around your homes this afternoon. See whether or not you have a fire trace cut around your home. If there is vegetation leading all the way up to your fence line, or you don't have a fence line, or the borders of your property, go by this afternoon, tomorrow evening, and start to clear down the excessive grass that is leaning against your home, that is close to your eave of your roof, and cut a fire trace of 5 to 3 feet in width and down to the dirt, and remove the vegetation so that if a bushfire were to lead up to your home, it will not be able to jump that intervening space of 5 to 3 feet. Mm. Those are your protective measures. That is what we should be doing to protect our homes. People, you have lots of land in different zones. You have land, you have an obligation to clear your property and to keep your property at a low level. Mm. You cannot allow your homes and your properties that you're uninhabited the property to be a hazard for your next door neighbor. It is also against the law.
Officer Rogers, before we wrap up and before we close, we have another call. Let's take this one, right? Hi, good afternoon. You like?
Definitely.
Good afternoon.
Hi, afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How wide is it?
Thank you, sir.
The trace? How long?
Can you repeat
how
that?
How wide is it to cut the trace?
How wide to cut the trace?
5 to 3 feet. Minimum 5 to 3 feet. The fire trace. Condition. You're going to cut that around your property.
One,
you could go
I
wider.
Go 15 feet.
But don't go below 5 to 3 feet. Don't go below that.
I said I went 15 feet wide and the bridge was so high that the fire went across and still burned on the place.
It went.
Wow.
All right. Okay. So again, these are rules of thumb that we use. You're right to some extent. Huh? There's a difference between savanna grass and forested area. If you put a 15 feet space between 40 foot trees, you're still going to get a burn back. But if you put a 15-foot space between paragraph and lawn grass and shrub, you're not going to get a burn back. Carrie, does that make sense to you?
Well, it making sense now.
Because the higher the vegetation, the wider the fire trace has to be.
Yeah. So it's more like you're gauging it. And you're making the...
Because if a tree is 10-foot tall or 15-foot or 20-foot... and it burns at the root, and it falls across the road, then the width that you have to...
It have to be bigger than the tree, the length of the tree, right?
So it may be 30 feet in some instances based on the height of the vegetation.
Yeah.
So that caller may have had his property very close to a forested area.
Mm.
And I could understand why that he's going to have a burning taking place, a total destruction.
Mm.
So when you take our advice, take into consideration the type of vegetation and the type of terrain. We didn't even talk about the terrain, Caribbean.
Yeah.
The hillsides is different to flatland.
You have more breeze up there.
So these things are very scary.
More winds.
Yeah. Wow. Definitely.
All right.
So Caribbean realized with this topic, it might have a part three.
It might have a part three in it.
because
there's so much.
Can go on and on.
There's so much that we have to talk about.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
All right.
But again, on behalf of the Fire Prevention Department of the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service, the Chief Fire Officer, in this case, Officer Bristow, Mr. Officer Arnold Bristow, we are here and we're here to share information. Reach out to your local fire stations. Let them know that you heard the program. Let them know that you consider the work that the fire officer are doing as vital in the community.
Mm.
And thank all fire officers for their service.
Yeah.
Because they are the silent, unsung heroes within your communities.
True, eh?
Working behind the scenes to do the best that they can do on behalf of our nation. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Officer Rogers. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. to talk more about fires. Thank you so much.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.